Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. Are you still listening? Good. Take a deep breath. You needed a break. This Earth Week, you can live stream 7 national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. So, yes, you can literally stream a stream. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to PopCulture.com's group chat, where we talk about all the reality TV news that we care about and you really need to know. I am one of your hosts, Anna Rumor.
And I am Victoria McGottamy.
Jameson is gone once again this week, and we miss him.
Already.
Why is he breaking our hearts week after?
Why does he do this to us?
It's devastating,
We also talk over him a lot, but we miss him when he's not here, because we just like his presence here.
It's like a solid reassuring presence for us to interrupt. we've got a good show with or without Jameson. We've got Dancing with the Stars. There was a big blunder on Monday night that I was like, oh my gosh, live TV is stressful. We're going to break down The Masked Singer. It's been on for a few weeks and everyone knows that I go mad conspiracy theory on it. There's Duggar drama that we need to break down. We've talked about it in the past, but now we have something solid on it. And as always, we'll recap Big Brother as they sprint towards the ending. And we all kind of know what's going to happen. But let's start off with Dancing with the Stars. We bid goodbye to Anne Hesh, who I called Anne Hetchy on our first podcast about Dancing with the Stars.
I apologize. I thought it was Anne Hesh. I think it's
Hesh.
Hesh? Hesh, Hesh.
I feel both ways. It's definitely not Hetchy.
I mean, but can you blame people sometimes? Like, I would never expect anyone to, like, pronounce my last name correctly. And I feel like some people just, like, when you own a name like that, you should just not expect people to pronounce it correctly all the time.
I get Rummer all the time, and I'm fine with it. I apologize to Anne Hesh, whatever. Mm-hmm. But I'm 28, so, you know, I was not aware of her when she was in the zeitgeist.
She said, I'm 28. I'm young. Okay, I'm still learning how to spell.
I'm young! She screamed into the void. but so Anne, my good friend Anne, and Keo were sent home. But it was a really weird way that they got sent home. Basically, there was a mistake on Tyra Banks's cue cards that didn't match up with what was actually happening in the control room. So what had happened was she had Anne and Keo on stage for the bottom two, but she also had Vernon and Peeta on stage. But the other bottom two person was Monica Aldama from Cheer and her partner Val. And so she had to like make Vernon and Peeta go away and then call back Monica and Val after they had already been deemed safe. It was really awkward. And as everyone knows in Dancing with the Stars, the elimination happens pretty quickly. It happens in 4 minutes. So it was kind of a nightmare to watch for me, because I was very stressed out.
You know what, though? This is the TV I live for in 2020, okay? We're bringing back the Steve Harvey situation.
Yes.
This is the kind of train wreck I want to see, okay? But she handled it as best she could, honestly.
She did. Yeah.
She really did. And I'm sure there were some mean people out there just waiting for Tyra Banks to be put in a situation like this. But you know what? She's a pro and she handled it. But yes, it was awkward.
Yes.
But I was like, you know what? If I'm going to have to watch something that's awkward and aggressive or uncomfortable, like, I would much rather it be on Dancing with the Stars and, like, a fun show than, like,
the news.
I don't know. The news. Like, you know, like, I'm done talking about presidential debates. Like, I'm done talking about that train wreck. Like, I want to talk about Dancing with the Stars train wreck. Like, it's so much easier for me to watch.
It's a fun train wreck. It's one with no casualties. I was reading this Page Six article afterwards where apparently Anne was like not happy about it and stormed off stage without doing any interviews. I get that because it was a really emotional episode for her. She went into when she was dating Ellen DeGeneres and was really discriminated against and basically booted out of Hollywood for 10 years for having a relationship with another woman. And I get that on that night, you're like, really? Me? And it's going to be this way. So I don't even get like a proper farewell. I just get scooted off stage, basically. I get that. But yes. She went back on Good Morning America the next day and was, you know, giving a nice answer about it and said she enjoyed her time on it. So I was interested in that detail, but also was like, yeah, I'd be kind of ticked off too.
Well, you know what? I'm also glad that she brought up the situation between her and Ellen, because I think, I mean, it's 2020, okay? This is the year that we're raising awareness for like everything. And I appreciate the fact that she was like, I was booted out of Hollywood for this long because of having a relationship, a public relationship with a female. And I think that more people, I like when celebrities come out and tell us like little tidbits, little secrets, if you will, like this, because it shows what's really going on behind the scenes, because I think it's so easy for all of us to just assume things about celebrities, but we don't really know what's going on behind closed doors. And that's, you don't even have to be a celebrity. I mean, like go up and down your Instagram and Facebook feed. Like you don't really know what's going on with people that you don't talk to regularly. And so I like that she kind of put a spotlight on that so that, you know, we can just bring more awareness. I mean, I think something like that now would be so looked down upon.
Oh my gosh, you can't get away with that anymore. I mean, you should have never been able to get away with it. But the fact that she wasn't even allowed to attend her own movie premiere because she went with Ellen as her date, that's messed up. And it does show, you know, how far we've come in some areas. There's still a lot further to go. But I thought that was interesting. I appreciated her opening up about that. And I also got why she was like, really? Come on. This is like,
I agree with you.
But I thought back to Tyra handling it. I thought she did really well. And the EP actually came forward, did an interview with Entertainment Tonight where he was like, I am fully owning it. That was not her fault. We wrote the wrong thing on the cue card. And then we're talking in her earpiece being like saying something else. And I mean, that's complicated for anyone to handle. So the people were like, Tom woulda never. I'm like, Tom woulda.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you this. As someone with a television background, I've had multiple IFBs in my ear. I've had multiple producers talking in my ear while I'm talking to the camera or to someone else. It is a lot to keep up with, because especially when you have a last minute change and when you're really, I mean, when they come in with something other than just the time alone, like, okay, 5 minutes, 4 minutes, wrap it up, you know, whatever, when you're actually... I see that hand.
There's my cat.
The cat's trying to come in. But when you're actually having to like pay attention to like a change that's happening and you're having to just like pretend like nothing is going on, people don't understand until they get in front of the camera. Even if you're just reading something on the teleprompter, like it's more of a challenge than what people realize. So I appreciate people like her in that position that go as smoothly as you can in that situation. And you know what? You're right, Anne. Tom woulda.
Yeah, exactly. You know, everyone woulda. There was the wrong info. What are you going to do? So, like, know that? Get out of here. We'll move along past that. The other notable thing that happened during the episode was Skye Jackson got the first 10 of the season doing this really beautiful dance to Ordinary People as a tribute for her late co-star Cameron Boyce, who was her Jesse co-star, who died last year at just 20 after a seizure. And I got really emotional during that segment. She was talking about how much he meant to her and how much he was like an older brother. And then she got the first 10 doing the dance for him. So,
you know, and I'm so excited that she did, because you can tell the last 2 weeks she's been working really hard to up her score. And we obviously see the talent. I mean, she's obviously very talented when it comes to dancing, among other things as well. But you could almost see the disappointment a little bit on her face. And I think in one of the episodes, it showed her when she was walking backstage. I think it was after when she messed up with her leg. She didn't get over his head the way.
if you look in the background, my cat's just knocking stuff off
Anna
the mantle.
Anna is doing such a great job at just keeping a straight face. It's me that's losing it, because I think it's so
funny how good
you are. But anyways, okay, so yeah, I think we saw her crying. So the fact that she was able to get a 10, that was so satisfying to see.
I know, I love that. I love that. So let's move on to the other show that we're obsessed with, or maybe it's just me that's obsessed with, but I feel like everyone's obsessed with it.
Yes.
The Masked Singer. It's been back for a few weeks. We've had some pretty big reveals. The first week was Busta Rhymes as a dragon, which was... he had to be the first week to go because his voice is absolutely, it's just his voice. As soon as he started to sing or rap, I was like, oh, that's Busta.
It's, yes. Yeah.
No,
I thought potentially when, I think it was Jenny McCarthy mentioned it could be DMX. I was like, that is literally the only other person on this planet that it could be is DMX. But that was my very first guess was Busta. I was like, I've listened to too many of his songs. I know his voice.
It's just, the hints are, you don't need the hints. It sounds like him and, it's either him or DMX, you're right. And they can't keep that going for multiple weeks. Yeah. It's not that interesting. So that made sense for him to go first. And then... This season's super weird. Like, this show is so weird already. I've described it as a fever dream in the past, and it keeps getting weirder each season, which I'm obsessed with. The next episode was Mickey Rourke just unmasked himself. He was the gremlin.
Can we talk about another train wreck that's awkward to watch? Because the whole, like, dramatic scene of, like, Nick being like, Men in Black, where are you? And the judges being like, no, you can't do that. And Nick is like, no. And then we're all just sitting there like, what the hell is happening right now? He's just like, I can't be in this mask anymore.
Okay, here's a quick question. And maybe I'm blinded by my love for the Masked Singer. Was that scripted?
100%. I feel like it was if they had played it off a little bit more, like I think the judges played into it a lot better than Nick Cannon did. Cannon did this like, and I would love to see the behind the scenes on how they actually like film this part, because the whole like take it off the mask, it's so drawn out and like edited and just unnecessarily long, but that's what makes it good. I'm just like, how long was this actual process of like,
because here's like what I know about the filming.
Weird.
It's they film them with the audience, although I'm not sure about now because of COVID.
I know.
I'm not sure when this was filmed, but I think maybe they're just using cut scenes of other audiences. I'm sure
they have to be, but we get to vote at home now. That's what I don't get. Or maybe a certain portion we get to vote at home. They got a lot of changes
going
on the show.
Maybe that's next season. I don't know. There's too many seasons, but not enough seasons at the same time.
Yes. That's a lot.
So what they do during a normal season is they do a take it off, and they, rattle around their head. And then the entire audience is ushered out, and then they film them actually taking it out without an audience.
Yes.
So as to preserve spoilers. So who knows how they did that with Mickey Rourke, but I think it was scripted, but part of me was like, ooh, he just did it.
It was so random. Like Nick Cannon was like, he just told me that he's too hot in the mask or something like that. And then he was just like, no, I'm done. And I was like, it was very awkward. I don't know. They should have just like brought in some experts on how to like make that scene a little bit better. I think it was scripted for sure.
I didn't understand why it happened. Whatever.
I didn't either. I feel like he was like, I'll sign up to do this, but like, I'm only doing it 1 week. Okay.
I feel like all the celebrities do that and they just pretend that they've been voted out. So I didn't know why they had to make his weird, but whatever. He was not good anyway. So that's fine. Although Gremlin was so cute.
Yes, Gremlin was. And Giraffe got unmasked.
Yes.
Technically 2 nights ago when you guys are hearing this. Two nights ago. Brian Austin Green did not expect that.
I'm not even in the ballpark of guessing that.
No. The judges guessed a couple of people, and two people that they said were Travis Barker and Shia LaBeouf. And I was like, you know what? I don't think it's Travis, but I think I could see it being Shia LaBeouf based on
I thought it was going to maybe be him.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was going to be Shia. And then out comes Brian Austin Green. And I was like, and the judges, even like, Robin, who grew up with him and was in a little band with him.
Robin Thicke is one of his best friends from childhood. He didn't get it. So how could we be expected?
Yeah.
So that is interesting.
I don't know.
Like I said, early on in the season, I don't have a ton of guesses. I need more, hints and stuff like that. But I do have two people that I'm pretty confident about. Serpent, I am 99% sure, but that's Leslie Odom Jr. because I would recognize that voice anywhere, and that's him. But the clues I'm kind of lost on, but his voice is that.
I love Leslie.
Second one, this is a kind of out of left field one, but the son, I think, could be Christina Aguilera.
Stop.
The voice is not exactly on, but we know that famous singers often modulate their voices when they're on Masked Singer.
Yeah.
But she has the range. She's really good. And then the ties that we've gotten are saying, like, she had, like, a difficult childhood, which Christina Aguilera had a difficult childhood. And then there's a lot of Disney clues, and obviously Christina Aguilera was a Mickey Mouse Club. So that's my guess for Sun right now.
And they guess that it could potentially be Demi Lovato, which
is another good guess.
I thought for a second I heard a little bit of Lady Gaga in there, but then the more I listened, I was like, unless she's doing something with her voice that's making her sound a little different, I don't think it's Lady Gaga. But if it were to be Lady Gaga, I would be like, oh yeah, okay, I could,
could see that.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
And the one guess that I have for the Snow Owls, because this season they have a 2-person costume, yes, which is the first time ever, and I thought it was maybe Nick and Vanessa Lachey for a little bit, just because I feel like Vanessa would be on it. I don't know. Maybe she can.
You know what? I've talked to her. I should, next time I'm going to ask her. I'm like, can you sing?
Can you sing,
Miss Ma'am?
Can you sing?
Yeah. I'm asking every interviewee from here on out, can you sing?
So what's your singing ability like?
This is so out of left field, totally off topic, but I need to know if you can sing.
Just for future Masked Singer purposes.
Yeah.
But that's an interesting guess. The good guess, my guess is like, I don't know. It's okay, but the clues don't super fit together. Libby, our coworker, I told her I'd give her a shout out because I think I stole one of her guesses one time. And she's like, I can't believe you stole it. So here you go, Libby. This is Libby's guess. She thinks that the Snow Owls could be Garth Brooks and Trisha Yearwood because of I've got friends, and he said something about like low places, and it sounds like the country twang, and she would have a better explanation for it. But she told me that, and I was like, oh, that one's probably right.
And they did, the judges did throw out that guess last night that it could be them. Now, I don't know their past well enough, because in one of the clue packages, it said that like, the guy went through a breakup and she was there to be his anchor and blah, blah, blah. So I was like, okay, maybe this is just like a friendly duo, or maybe this is a married couple that before they became married.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't know. Cause I definitely feel like it's like a country couple or a country duo. Yeah. And I don't know anything about country music. So
yeah. Interesting. I'm kind of have to like really, I'm going to like keep their, somebody else said Keith Urban and Nicole Kidman. I was like, I don't know that Nicole can sing. Maybe she can.
Cause she was in Moulin Rouge.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
but I don't think it's them. I don't think she would do it. I think she's more than happy. Well, you're right. You do never know, but I feel like Nicole.
They got Lil Wayne on that show.
Thank you. That's true. Every time I say I don't think that person would do it, they get unmasked. I'm like, huh? I guess they would. So
yeah.
Who am I to judge? So let's take a quick break, and then we'll come back for Duggar drama, as I've so lovingly put it in the outline, and we'll talk a little bit about Big Brother.
Should you ever set foot outside of the hotel, you will be shot.
Don't miss the new Showtime limited series based on the international bestseller.
For the last 4 years, I've been a prisoner.
Why are they keeping you here?
Starring Emmy Award winner Ewan McGregor.
This is the brave new world that you dreamt of.
Be very careful. You are still a prisoner here.
Everything in this new world comes at cost.
This is still my country.
A Gentleman in Moscow. Now streaming on Paramount Plus. Only with the Paramount Plus with Showtime plan.
All right, we're back, and we're diving into the Duggars, or shall I say the Dillards, because Jill Duggar, her last name's Dillard now. I don't know. It's not that clever.
Hey, first one, Anne.
Yeah, she was originally a Duggar. So she used to be on Counting On, which was formerly 19 Kids and Counting, and she and her husband, Derek, left, / were fired, / who knows, in 2017. There has been speculation that there's a lot of tension between them and the dad, Jim Bob, and the mom, Michelle Duggar, because, you know, like, Michelle cropped Jill out of a picture recently. Derek constantly is trashing Jim Bob on Twitter and Instagram for, like, not paying his kids who are on the show and being really controlling, that kind of thing.
Oh.
So we've had evidence that things are not great between them. But Jill herself came out and addressed the feud for the first time ever in a YouTube Q&A Wednesday, which I was like, oh my goodness, Jill. First off, before we get into that, I just want to say Jill always seemed very like subdued to me. She didn't really seem like the Duggar who was going to go out and Ginger moved to LA and started wearing pants. And I was like, ooh, she's the crazy rebel. But I think it's Jill because she got a nose piercing. She's talking about how she does drink alcohol. She wears pants and she uses birth control, non-hormonal birth control. But she's been very open about all these things that are mainly is like very conservative and against. So she's the one like taking a step away from her family more. And then during this YouTube Q&A, she said, quote, there's been some distancing there. We're not on the best terms with some of my family. We've had some disagreements, but we're working towards healing definitely and restoration, but we having to just kind of take some time and heal.
Well,
that's pretty definite.
It is. And you know what? This goes back to what I was saying, okay? You just don't know what's going on behind closed doors. And I think specifically when people get categorized into a specific type of family, I don't want to pinpoint like one religion or one belief system, but like, because it doesn't matter what it is, what you believe, where you stand on, you know, I mean, even politics, you know, like you still can't
pigeonhole a kid. Yeah.
You can't pigeonhole someone, especially when, again, you just don't know if they're being, you don't know what's going on behind closed doors. So again, I appreciate people like this stepping out and saying, hey, listen, like not giving us all the details, you know, but giving us enough details to I know what you're saying. Yeah, I got you.
I want all the details though, don't I?
Yeah. I mean, listen, we do want all the details, but we have to work with what we're given. And right now it's not all the details, but she's giving us enough to like put our own thoughts in our head.
I just appreciated her talking about it because like I said before, we've got evidence and people have been talking about this for a while. And it's like not a secret basically. So I appreciated her coming out and being like, yeah, you all know. So let me just say it and let me say it in the way that I want to say it as opposed to people maybe blowing it out of proportion. Like people were saying that they had disowned her, that kind of thing. And she's like, listen, it's not that serious. We're not that doing aggressive. Great, but you know, we're
gonna be okay. We had talked about back in, I'm blanking on the names. The married couple, Brooks Lake.
Yes, Brooks Lake.
Brooks Lake. And
Julianne Hough.
Yes, Julianne Hough. God, I'm just having serious brain fog right now.
I feel you.
Well, like, okay, that couple, like, we're interested, but it almost gets to a point when people are so private, which, okay, listen, I want to preface this. I appreciate, I respect, I understand the need, the urgency for privacy. I get it. But at some point, you also have to understand you're a public figure. And I would much rather hear the truth from the actual celebrity. And I'm not saying you need to give us every detail that there is, but I would much rather hear from the person themselves than like some random statement or just allowing the speculation to continue. So Jill actually coming forward and saying, listen, here's what it is. There you go. You know, like to me, that just satisfies a part in my heart that I'm like, okay.
Yeah. I think that you brought up Brooks and Julianne because they were like, so like cryptic comments, cryptic things. The source says for so long that at least for me, I was like, I don't even care anymore.
I know. But
just say something because you're just dropping little breadcrumbs and like, it's not that, you know, not that big a deal. I mean, it is you, but like for us, just say
And we give them the benefit of the doubt. Like maybe they still were not sure where they stood alone. I mean, because we've all been in that situation in relationships where you go the longest time. You're like, well, I don't even know what we are. We can't seem to get on the same page. So like, I understand if they didn't want to say anything, you know, because of that, because they were still, because it looks like they're potentially getting back together or are back together. Because, you know,
it's we don't know, like but they keep dropping still don't clues. Know. They keep dropping clues. I don't know. Kind
of. So thank you, Jill, for coming out and speaking about it.
Yes, we appreciate that. Let's move on to Big Brother, just to
just to really
just disappoint me.
Yeah, we're putting the cherry on top of the already just volcano of 2020
yeah.
train wrecks well, that we've
and
talked
so
about.
You know, last week we were talking about the triple eviction and how that was going to be exciting, and it was kind of exciting. You know, I like watching the triple eviction. I like making these people scramble a little bit, but it went pretty much just like we expected. Kevin and David went back to back, and then Danny came out, which was the only like kind of fun up in the air thing about it, because she was really mad afterwards.
Yeah.
She left and was just like, I don't like Nicole. Or was she said she didn't like Christmas.
And it was Christmas. And honestly, I'm like kind of ready for Christmas to leave.
I'm ready.
I've been ready since like 5 weeks ago.
Yeah, exactly. Well, so Danny goes, and then we're down to the final six. And then Cody wins HOH again.
Again.
The man,
that's like his third time.
Yeah.
That's like his third time. I think he's going to win it all, honestly.
Honestly, he deserves to win it at this point. He's winning all of these comps and still has everyone fighting to keep him in. No one's even thought about getting Cody out, despite the fact that he wins like every other competition.
Yeah.
You should have, like...
I think because he keeps winning, they just want to be on his side because they're like, this guy can help save us, you know? That's like...
I guess until you're in the final two with him and he's like, hey, I won everything this season. The majority gives him the money.
What did you say? I think it was last week or the week before. Someone has never won that was the first in the house or something?
Oh, yeah. So first person in the house has never won. That was Christmas. And then the person who's won the OTEV challenge has never.
Wasn't that Cody?
That was Cody.
Okay. Yeah. Yes. Okay. I'm telling you, man.
So he would be if he won, he would break the OTEV curse, which would be a big deal.
Yeah.
But also because it appears that everyone else in the house is not trying to get rid of him anyway. He broke down those alliances last week. But so Cody wins that. He puts up Tyler and Christmas because they took a missed shot at Nicole during the triple eviction. And he puts them up. He initially says that he's going to target Christmas, but then he flips. Now he's saying that he's going to target Tyler. And then he wins the veto, keeps them the same because the man can't lose. And I think Tyler's going home. He doesn't have the votes. He's talked to everyone and everyone's been pretty honest with him. Like, man,
I think Tyler's kind of okay with going home. I think he's just not, his head is not, I mean, he made it very clear. His head has not been in this game. And I think Tyler's okay with it. I think Tyler's like, you know what? I'm going to tap out. But here's what I still can't
stand. He said he was going to fight till the end, but he also recognized how unlikely that is. And he is having the conversations on the live feed, but it's also so he was like, you know, I'm going to have a good time this last week. No one's going to vote for me. I don't know.
Yeah. Like I don't know. I mean, and back to, I mean, this is so random, but this also talks about like Danny left being angry. Like David did too. Like David just like, I feel he didn't want to hug anyone. Like he was just like, I'm out of here. But I'm like, David, at least you're going home with 10 grand. Like I get that that's why, you know, that aids and why you potentially went home, but you're probably going to go home anyways.
He's definitely going to go home. It was just the order he was going to go home.
Take the 10 grand, you know, like I just can't help but to think like if I was going home, I would want to win something, you know, at least. And I feel like.
And they already made money to show up. So, you know.
Yeah, that's true. But not 10 grand worth.
No, I think they made like 40K to show up.
Each person?
Yeah, I think so. That's what I read on like Reddit. Cause it's
what?
Cause it's all stars.
Dang.
Yeah.
Good for that. Oh, well then, I wouldn't even be mad if I went home at that point. I mean, like it'd be a bonus if I got the, what do they win? $1 million this season?
Half a million.
Okay. Well,
or is it $1 million this season? I don't know. More money than I'll ever see in my entire life.
Guys, sometimes I wonder why we're covering these shows. Cause sometimes we know about them. Sometimes we don't.
Listen,
and the sad thing is I do recaps on these.
We watch them. It's just there's so much going on. I can't keep these details.
Well, remember last week that you were like, I'm pulling my mom's asking my mom sometimes, like I can't remember the names. That's me. Like I can watch something and then still ask a question about what I just saw.
I've been watching shows for years. I'm like, what's that character's name? It's Mark Norman's character. Who is he? Yes. What's his name? Gosh.
Yes. Yes, but we do watch these shows. It is very clear that we watch these shows, but
we love them, but we just don't hold on to the details.
Yes. Okay, so Tyler, so you think Tyler's going to go home?
I think so. He doesn't have the votes, and it is smart to get him out first. I would do that. Yeah. No one likes Christmas. No one's going to vote for Christmas. People would maybe vote for Tyler if he made it to the final two, and he's got a better strategy or strategic mind. That word has tripped me up like three times in the last...
Whatever. I think it was way back in the day when George Bush said it wrong. What did he say? Strategery?
Yeah.
Or something like that. Ever since then, I can't say that word like normally.
He cursed us.
This is why it's important if you have a public platform to speak correctly.
Please.
Mess the rest of us up.
Still can't spell potatoes right. Thanks, Dan Quayle. Wow, that's a throwback. Anyways. Basically Nicole is like salty because Tyler and Christmas for her. So it's just
Nicole though,
I'm annoyed with her because it's a valid gameplay. It didn't work, but for her to like whine about it, you could be disappointed, but for her to be like, I cannot believe they would do that to me. I'm like, I can. There's six people.
I also legit think it's gonna come down to Cody and Memphis.
I think so too. And
in that case, I want Cody wins. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause he's been dominating this whole season. Memphis has been doing pretty well too, but, Cody is a continued troll editing where they keep making fun of him for being stupid
What did he say? A Texan is an animal. I was watching this with my mother and my mom has not watched every episode. And she goes, oh, he's totally kidding. And I was like, no. Like that's the sad part is so he's not.
He's like, what do you call people from California? And they're like, Californians. Like, I've never heard that before in my life. Really?
Have you never in your life? Like I'm a Tennessean. Well, technically I'm a Floridian being from Florida and then now a Tennessean.
I'm a Pennsylvanian.
Pennsylvania.
It's pretty easy.
Pennsylvania. What is it? What? New England would be New Englander.
Yeah.
What's a person from Idaho? Idahoian?
Idahoan. My dad is from Idaho.
Oh.
Randomly well, enough. Yeah. There you go. Cool. Got Brandon the expert for that one.
Fun fact of the day. All right, cool. Bless him.
Bless him. I don't know. I thought it was funny. That's what I watch Big Brother for, is for like these weird moments where you watch people really in their element or not in their element. Just being like, what? I didn't know the word Texan referred to a person.
Yeah.
You know, that's funny.
Yeah.
So let's move on to the pop culture picks of the week. Go. Please.
I'm so excited for this. I meant to message you earlier in this week to tell you that I knew what my pop culture pick of the week was going to be because I'm so excited. So you guys are hearing this on Friday. Today, The Haunting of Bly Manor.
We'll just do the same one. I'm super excited for it to come out.
Oh, it gave me all.
The second season of Haunting of Hill House is on Netflix, and it's October 9th, right?
So, okay, here is what I'm a little confused about. So I've been following them on Instagram, and I've been watching all their videos. Mm-hmm. And I think that the way that I understood it, I think it was the director or one of the producers, I can't remember. Again, we don't pay attention to details. Some person who is a part of it that has an important role, one of those people, was saying that some of the characters from Haunting of Hill House are going to come back, I believe with different characters. So
The same actors are being used. A lot of the same actor. It's kind of like American Horror Story in that way, where it's like an anthology where they play different characters and it's a different story, but it's the same people.
Yeah. Okay.
There are new people coming in too, but.
Okay. I need to get on the American Horror Story train because for the longest time, I just have not watched it because I'm finally getting into watching scary stuff again, just a little bit. I used to love like horrifying, scary things when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And then I went through this phase where I was like, no, rom-coms only. And now I'm like, okay, I'll start dipping my toes a little bit. But I haven't seen American Horror Story, so I wasn't sure.
Listen, some of the seasons are really good, and then most of them are bad eventually. And I say that as someone who watches every year. So, you know, but it's that same kind of thing. It's cool. You think it's going to be weird at first, but having the same actors back, you kind of like seeing them in different roles every season. But it looks scary. It looks good. I love the original story that it's based off of. So,
yeah, that'll be, I'm so excited for this. I'm going on a girls' trip this weekend, and I texted the group message, and I was like, guys, I know that like some of you probably don't care, but like, can we watch this? Because like, it's gonna be so great. I think I got half of them at least on board to watch it. The other half or whatever. But I'm very excited for it.
I've been trying to convince my boyfriend to watch, but he doesn't watch. He doesn't do scary stuff, and I'm like,
oh,
you're gonna watch.
You're gonna watch it. Just tell him to
watch with me.
Just like one of these where you can just, you know,
just put like headphones on him, put like an iPad with like Aladdin or something in front of it.
Yes. Tell him when the looks
are watching our show.
Yeah. Oh, but I'm so excited for this. I've been waiting so long because they were supposed to come out with this, I think like last year, last Halloween, and it just never happened and we never heard anything about it. And then we were like, okay, so is this happening or not? So now it's finally happening. I'm like, this is what we need in 2020.
We need a good scary thing that we can watch from our houses because like movies aren't happening. So I'm very excited. Good.
Well, I've already watched Hocus Pocus like 50 times, so I need something new to watch.
I watched, what did I watch? I watched The House on, The Haunting of Hill House yesterday. Not the Netflix one, but the old school one. And it still holds up, so, you know.
Maybe I'll have to watch that tonight.
Well, now that we've got our weekend plan set up, we'll close out for the day. Don't forget to follow popculture.com. We've got all your up-to-date news. Follow us on Facebook. I'm on Twitter at Anna Rumor.
And I'm at Vimagotomy.
And drop us a rating, review, subscription, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher. You guys know the whole thing. I can
you got a down pat.
Sleep. Yeah. And then we'll talk to you next week.
Jeremy Renner returns to Paramount Plus for a brand new season of the original hit series, Mayor of Kingstown.
My job is to create a balance, avoid a war.
From executive producer Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone.
There's some new players in town, and they brought the flake.
And Antoine Fuqua, director of Training Day.
I know it's always been a war zone, Mike, but this is next level.
The mayor is back in business.
Are you warning me?
You're going to find out.
Mayor of Kingstown, new season streaming June 2nd, exclusively on Paramount Plus.